And I remember distinctly looking around and thinking, where are all the women? Where are all the women? That's weird. Like, what, they all couldn't make it today or what? And then it was more, where is anyone that isn't a white bloke?
Welcome to Series 3 of Greater Than 11%, a podcast whose aim is to educate, inspire, and demystify creative careers, all the meanwhile promoting some awesome women and non-binary folk. By episode 95, I'm joined by Ellie Hale, Managing Director at The Agency Collective, an organisation focused on helping agencies be better through the core values in which the Agency Collective uphold, which are be transparent, be caring, and be giving. In 2005, Ellie completed a Bachelor of Laws at the University of East Sussex, but took a turn towards business development and managerial roles, working for a number of organisations, firstly in England and then in Australia for several years. On returning to the UK, she worked as a senior account executive for Pure 360, but also joined Mindful Works as a mental health first aid instructor, something she continues to be involved with up until today. Mindful Works supports companies and individuals with mental health first aid training. It teaches how to spot triggers and changes in behaviour and how to have confidence to start some meaningful conversations with colleagues and friends. In 2019, Ellie joined the Agency Collective, firstly as Chief Community Officer, but moved into the Managing Director role soon after. Ellie, I'm super keen to learn more about you, the Agency Collective. Welcome to Greater Than 11%.
Oh, thanks ever so much.
So I'd love to dive straight in. I've just given a slight overview of your very extensive career.
Whistle stop tour.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be lovely to hear it in your own words, kind of, you know, where you are aiming for and kind of where you've got to now and kind of what that path was.
Okay. I haven't ever aimed anywhere, I think, which has, I guess, probably helped me in some ways because I haven't been pushed in any particular direction, but probably hindered me in lots of ways as well. I also had a career as an actress. After law school, I went to drama school, and then I was an actress for years before moving to Australia. And business development was something really that I just fell into. I think if you've, especially if you're a creative type or you have been in a creative field, as I was in acting, you get really used to selling yourself in a way. So talking about things in a certain way, promoting shows, promoting yourself, promoting colleagues. So business development was always something that I think lent itself to my natural skills and personality type. I love meeting people. I love finding out more about people, which in essence is what the best salespeople do, right? When I moved back home, thought about my sales career probably more seriously and started at the Agency Collective because I just knew it was a really bloody lovely place to be. On LinkedIn, the members talking about it. So I actively pursued a career at the Agency Collective and started there at business development, but in business development and bringing on new members, I could definitely see how we could make our community stronger and lean into our strengths more, maybe pull away from some of the stuff we weren't doing too well. Yeah, and just really put my heart and soul into it. In addition to that, Mindful Works, that's actually my company. That's my baby I started. And that was, I think, 4 years ago. I'd lost a friend to suicide. And it just completely blindsided all of us because she would have been the person that anybody went to if you had a problem. She was also the life and soul of any party, just like bloody, just shining beacon of light and positivity for everyone. And we just didn't see it when the darkness was really in her. And so I trained as a mental health first aid instructor, first and foremost, to protect our circle. So I thought, I didn't know what was going on. Maybe I could have done something differently. I think suicide provokes a lot of feelings of guilt or responsibility if you've been left behind. So I trained first and foremost to protect my family, my friends, and train them up so that we could try and prevent it happening again. But as a result, I do training for other corporates and clients. Now it's something that we offer at the Agency Collective as well for our agencies, because it's just bloody incredible what you learn in this 2-day course and how it can give you the confidence of, you know, feeling that eggy, awkward feeling when someone starts talking about a mental health and you're like, oh shit, I don't know what to say. Will I say something wrong? Am I going to make it worse? Or people that just try and fix it like immediately, just like, well, my best friend's like sister solved her depression from, you know, yoga and green tea, like, why don't you give that a crack? When in actual fact, it's about listening and being there and supporting. And through this, my students have saved 7 lives that I know of, which is pretty
amazing.
Bloody amazing, just by having the confidence to ask people clearly and directly how they're feeling. So yeah, so that's my side passion project.
I'm sorry to hear that about your friend. It's always so tricky, isn't it? When, like you're saying, you lose someone and you didn't see the signs, or it just, even if there is signs and it's that moment, I find that is something that's really difficult. And it's incredible that you set up something to have, like you said, I love that, those, that kind of slightly eggy conversation, you know, around just talking about it, because it makes a huge difference, just being able to, also amongst friends, even if it's not around, you know, to the particular person, how yeah. you can manage it and strategize. Yeah,
definitely. She would be bloody proud, though. She'd be pleased to know that she'd like inspired some positivity. So
I want to go back a little bit to one. I had no idea that you had an acting past, and I did a bit of a dig online. So I want to know what took you from a bachelor in laws to acting. You know, where did that happen?
My bloody dad, actually, telling me that I was too clever to do something so stupid as to go and try and be an actor. So I did the sensible thing first. I've always been academic, one of those lucky people that actually like loved school and loved doing exams and liked writing essays. So doing the law degree was something I thought I'd find really interesting, which I did, some of it. God, year two, anyone that's had to sit through land law or EU law or torts deserves a medal, because that is absolutely dire. And then once I'd done that, I sort of felt justified to then go and pursue my dream, which was acting, which I think always will be my biggest love and my dream to a degree. I think maybe I've just got to wait till the house is paid off. I've had the kids and everyone's sick of Olivia Colman. That's maybe when I'll, dive
that's
back.
That's your entry
in.
Point. Yeah. It is that creative element as well, isn't it? I think most creatives, they have several side things that they're still keeping a hand in to keep that kind of, like, yeah, say, that passion, that love, whilst paying the bills, paying the mortgage.
There's bloody bills.
Yes.
They're such a fun ruiner.
Well, speaking of paying the bills, it'd be great if you could tell me a bit more information around what's required in your role as managing director, kind of the day-to-day kind of overall responsibilities of the role at the Agency Collective.
Oh, it's really hard. It's sort of overarching and all-consuming and jack-of-all-tradesy, I feel, my role as MDship. What I'm learning more and more, though, with the support of my team as well, is to spend less time working in the business and more time working on the business. So, you know, more visionary stuff, more strategy stuff, more like, where are we actually going and why are we going there? Like, why are we trying these things? Why are we launching these new, you know, add-ons? How are we adding value to our membership? I'm really trying to listen and tune into what the community needs. I think when you manage a community, it's like a sort of throbbing, breathing entity all on its own. It's not like we have a set product that we sell. It's not like we have one specific service that we sell. It's like the Agency Collective is a real special thing, and it's like a, you know, like it's a feeling, it's a hug, it's coming into a family. And so running that, I've been MD now for nearly a year, and it's been an absolute learning curve, I think, in terms of how far I can push myself, how much I need to rein myself in, how I need to tap into like the strengths I've got in my personality, but I guess also weaknesses that I've got, and try and tune those and refine those and, yeah, generally get better at it. But we've got a team of 4 at the moment. We've got our 5th member starting in a few weeks, which we're very excited about, to grow the community management team. So lots of my day is spent sorting out the team, what they need, looking at what their targets are, their KPIs, but also looking at their well-being and how satisfied they are, because again, because it's a community, the more empowered and vibrant the team feels, it's reflective on the experience that our members get as well. As well as like the really exciting stuff, which is looking at new events that we could launch, looking at what agencies might be needing or lacking in right now, that we can bridge a gap somehow, we can you know, help forge new partnerships, introduce them to people that might not just help them on a business level, but on a personal level as well, which is really satisfying. For the first time, really looking at how we can use the power of community for good. So there are, you know, we've got over 300 individual agencies that are members of the agency collective. So how can we harness that, their passion, their drive, to try and affect some change within that industry? So that's something that I am super passionate about leading and will be, you know, at the forefront of our minds going into next year.
I wonder if you could maybe colour in a little bit about how you work with agencies, because obviously I mentioned in the intro that you work with them to be better and have some core values around what the agency collective established and live by. But how would you work with someone if an agency come to you and said, you know, we want to do better, we want to work better, and how can you help us? What do the agency collective do?
So we would, first and foremost, inviting them into the community. So looking at what their goals are, looking at how we can help achieve them, looking at who is already within the community that might be able to best support and help. In its sort of like rawest form, it's a subscription model to belong to a community network. But in reality, it's so much more than that. It's where friendships are formed. It's where business partnerships are created. We run a host of, I think we're on approximately 20 online events per month that we offer our membership. So that could be a mix of peer groups, so chatting to agencies that are of a similar size to you, or agencies that are in the same specific niche specialism as you. Like today we had an event on how to run diverse and inclusive events as an agency, what sort of things you need to be looking at. That was by Gabby from Diversity Alley, who's brilliant. So that's how we do it, by a series of events. We have an online Slack channel. We intro them agencies to the right people to support and educate.
Amazing. And you said you've got 300 members, so that, I mean, that's pretty robust group of agencies.
Yeah, 330, I think, and various sizes. So some will be founders, like, who have maybe just started out and it's just them. Some might still just be them, but they've been going 10 or 15 years. Some agencies have, you know, 50 plus staff and are making millions each year. So it's really dependent on, you know, what your specific needs are as an agency, and also as a person, as an agency founder, like, how do you want to personally develop? How do you want to be perceived? How do you want to communicate with your industry and with your peers?
It'd be great if you could talk more about the hashtag AC Pledge initiative, how it came about, what its aim is, and, you know, what you're setting out to achieve.
Yeah. So this was sort of born from the first agency event that I ever went to, in person, real life event. And I remember distinctly looking around and thinking, where are all the women? Where are all the women? That's weird. Like, what, they all couldn't make it today or what? And then it was more, where is anyone that isn't a white bloke? And just that sort of in real life realization of serious lack of diversity, and what is it that's behind that? And what could we do as the collective, and also agencies themselves, to almost hold yourself to account and want to make a difference? So we started Women in Agencies, a series of events and educational pieces, talks, blog sharing, with the hope to inspire other agencies to take the AC Pledge, which is to do small things within your agency. So whether it's the way you write your job description so that there's no gender bias, be it offering to go and talk in schools to inspire the next generation, just tiny sort of micro steps that will have an impact. And from that, what we're very excited to be launching next year is the Agency Changemaker Award. So we've taken something that was like a bit of whimsy, and it was something that was from the heart, and it was like, yeah, like, let's do this and get other people to join us, to actually formalizing it and making it part of like an award process. So agencies will apply to us, they'll have to match certain criteria, and as a result will be awarded the Agency Changemaker Award that they can have proudly in their agencies, their staff can have on their signatures, to show that in terms of equity, diversity and inclusion, they're not just ticking boxes, that in fact they're pledging to have a concerted difference on our industry going forward. And I think the thing when you talk about like EDI, the gender disparity, is people are so scared of doing something wrong or saying something wrong that they end up thinking, oh, do you know what, sod it, it's too hard, I'll just end up doing nothing, I'll just sit still and I'll just wait. It's the same with purpose and sustainability as well. Like, I'm not too sure what to do. It all seems a bit hard, so I'll just stand still. What we're trying to do is make it really easy. So these are the things that we suggest. Sign up to do them. Amazing. You'll get the Agency Changemaker Award. Not a tick box exercise. It's got to be from the heart. And you need to document and be able to demonstrate how and why you've done that.
Oh, I love that. When does that launch?
Next year.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I'll keep you posted.
Speak to an agency as well, because I'm, obviously very passionate about diversity and social equity.
And something you can get your team involved in as well. So it's not just like a founder to founder thing, or it's not just like a thing that you tend to have maybe one or two people in the agency that's really like, come on, let's do some things. Whereas this is something you could get the whole team involved in and, make it part of your strategy days and your planning days. Like, how are we going to hit this? And please come to us with your ideas, because we want to hear it and make it real, a really inclusive journey.
I love that. That links really nicely. I'm curious, like, you've been MD for the Agency Collective for a year now. What have you observed in terms of out in the agency world, in terms of change? In terms of diversity and social equity, have you seen changes over the last year? I mean, I feel like we've had a bit of a push recently, but we've just come out of COVID. I just heard on the news today that the pay disparity between women and men has increased again. So I'm really curious, in your position, what you've kind of observed over the past year.
I've learned to not take people's interest or lack of interest personally. If you so passionately believe in this is just the way it should be, and it's really that simple, and why are you being weird about it? Just change a couple of things. You can't take it personally, because people don't know what they don't know. And all that we can do at the AC is try and raise awareness as much as we can and continue discussions and make sure that they're always relevant. So just recently we did a talk for our members, male and female, on the menopause and why that's important. Obviously, lots of male founders thought, well, that's irrelevant to me. Whereas not really, because it's like 50% of the population. So if you know women, it's going to affect you at one stage of your life. So, open your eyes and your ears and get educated about it. I think what I've noticed is waves, sort of waves of interest and then waning interest. And we just need to have a level of consistency. What worries me is going into the recession, that I think the EDI efforts or purpose and sustainability, the stuff that takes a bit more effort and a bit more thought, that all might get dropped, because what will be at the forefront of everyone's minds is just staying afloat, keeping going and staying in business. And I get that, but that's also quite a short-sighted approach, because the tide is turning. Yet we've already got like a number of Gen Zers in our community where talking about sustainability and having a sustainable business model isn't like a question. It's an absolute must have. Having a diverse workforce isn't it's just about hiring the best person for the job. It's about, well, of course I'm going to strive for a diverse workforce, because how can I possibly deliver to my clients a true reflection of society or whatever product it is I'm trying to flog for them or whatever service it might be if I don't have a diverse workforce that's behind the creative of that? That's something that I've noticed, and I really hope that sort of maybe our older agencies, our perhaps more established agencies, don't lose that and don't drop the understanding of how important diversity is in terms of gender, in terms of race, in terms of sexuality, in terms of just diversity of thought, really.
We're in a massive period of change. Like I said, we've come out of the pandemic. We've got a new generation that are a lot more fluid in their thinking, a lot more diverse. I'm in a fortunate position that I teach that age group at the moment, and they inspire me all the time just with how brilliant they think, and things that have been massive issues in the past don't really touch them at this point in time. And, I hope that they can take that forward, because these old systems take a long time to change. But yeah, just curious about your observations over the last year as MD, and you speak to a lot of agencies and hearing their thoughts and their feelings and kind of their concern.
Yeah, that's what we sort of need to be acting as the soundboard for them. And we can't let it be an echo chamber, we've got to continuously bring new ideas to our members, I think, and also challenge their way of thinking sometimes as well, which I hope the Agency Changemaker Awards will do.
The Agency Collective, their values are, as I mentioned at the beginning, be transparent, be caring, and be giving. And I found that profoundly inspiring when I read that. I was like, wow, you don't often see that kind of out there. This is what we live by and this is what we stand by. And values can often feel, I don't know, just things that big organizations slap on somewhere to say we've got some values. But these are two, I think, clear and intimate almost to feel like that. And I think what's really inspired about it is that they're at odds with often the kind of energy or experiences within the media and communications industry. So I'm wondering how the agency landed on these values and have held steadfast to them.
The vision for the Agency Collective, like many, many years ago when it very first started, was to sort of create a mutual ground where agencies could just come and chat about war stories. So when agency founders got together, some magic stuff happened, because you could learn, you could vent, you could share. And when the collective was born as a sort of community in itself, we had to have those values in place. There is no room for sharks in the collective. There's no room for super salesy people at the Agency Collective. You join our community because you've got something that you want to gain, in that you want to grow as a person, you want to learn as a founder, you want to connect with people in your industry and scale, because you want to give back as well. And takers just don't last in that community, because we hold them to account, absolutely, and we clock it and uninvite people to the community. But our members themselves don't like it. They're very protective over the community and what we've built and the vibe that we've got going on. You know, we've just recently held some workshops where people said we should rebrand as the Agency Therapy Collective, because they honestly felt lighter and brighter having spent an afternoon with fellow founders just chewing the fat, not even about anything, you know, particularly groundbreaking, but just how they focus on this, or how they concentrate on that, or what their planning methods might be for the year ahead. And you have to be willing to give the community as much as you're taking. There has to be that equal balance. Otherwise, it's jarring. It's jarring for other members, and it just doesn't click right.
I love that lighter and brighter. That's a beautiful way to kind of visualize it. So I'd love to go back to your role. What skills would you say are needed to be a managing director?
Oh, bloody hell. I think I'm still working that out, like a year in. I think patience is key. Humility. Having a vision and not being frightened to go with it. So my mantra within the team is like, F it, let's try it. You know, if there's a business case for it, if we think it might work, if one of you feels particularly passionate about it, like, sod it, let's give it a go. I really believe that, and I really live by that.
So trust is a big one then, obviously.
Trust is a massive one, yeah, especially with the culture that I've created. So I'm trying to do things a bit differently. I want my team to work really bloody hard for me, but also know, you know, they're entitled to a life. So there's no micromanagement. If people want to, you know, like today, it's half term. One of my team wanted to spend some time with his daughter. So he's gone off this afternoon. That's not holiday. That's just he's gone off, and that's how he's running his day. But he'll be back and he'll make up the hours and crack on with his work later. And I have to trust him to do that, to still be a grafter. Otherwise, there's serious breakdowns in the team. But that level of fluidity and, I guess, responsibility for running your own show isn't for everyone. You know, some people crumble under that and they're like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do, or tell me what to do, or actually, do you know what, I'm just going to take the piss and won't do anything. So that's been a bit of a balancing act. But I really believe that the right team for the Agency Collective is the team that values their own well-being, their own family, and feel like really satisfied within their job to be able to give us their all and their absolute best. And then the community will almost feed off that. Yeah, that's certainly the vision. In the same way, I also encourage side hustles. So a number of the team, like I've got mindful work, so I still do some mental health training. One of the team's a designer, one of the team's a HR consultant, and still really, you know, encourage them to have that side hustle. Because I think if you're like I am, you know, kind of person that likes to have their fingers in a few pies, because it feeds, like each feeds its own. And I think it just makes for a more vibrant way of working, which is definitely what we're after.
I'd love to hear, especially because you've had, I'd say, multiple careers and many different paths. What's been the biggest challenge you've faced in your career?
There have been a couple, actually, of major challenges that I faced within my career. One was, in a number of positions, I got stuck at a certain level where I was effectively running a department or running a team, but not in name, because I was, you know, especially in sales, because I was really bloody good at sales. So management decided to just leave me there and keep me there as like a worker bee, as a cash cow, as opposed to rewarding that by promoting me and moving me up. So that's a blocker that I've faced, as well as working for a company whose values weren't aligned with mine. You know, previously at a previous company, I'd mooted mental health as being, you know, key. Like, it's not going to be long before mental health first aid training within companies is a legal requirement. Like, it just has to be. It affects the economy on too large a scale for it not to be made policy at some point. So not only is there like a moral obligation for us to, you know, make this training accessible if we can do, but also like a really clear like financial business plan for making it like part of a product line or whatever. And I worked for a company who their sort of top dog head of sales quite clearly said mental health just isn't a priority, just don't really think it's a thing. And I quit the next day because of that. And that, you know, it was a great job that I loved. But I think if your values aren't aligned, there's greater challenges further down the line. You have to believe in what you're doing wholeheartedly. I've never been one to just stomach it and take the cash.
Out of curiosity and me being nosy, did the person know that you left because of that?
Yes. Nothing changed. Literally nothing changed. But I was confident and comfortable in my decision, and, you know, it was the right thing to do.
I mean, it's ironic, you know, because at some point that person themselves might have some mental health issues, you know, so it's so short-sighted, not even just in a business sense, what it means on a kind of human level to think about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Tell me what you love about what you do.
I love the variety. I love that no day's the same. I love the flexibility of it around my family. And I love learning new things from our members all the time, be it comedy memes on Twitter, be it politics and like facts and major things that are going in the world. Like this week, for example, from my members, I've learned that storing emails is really bad in terms of sustainability. Like, you just think that your email, you know, I've got like 16,000 unread emails or whatever, and just sort of thought they were off in a cloud somewhere. But actually, no, like that takes energy. That's a complete waste of energy. And that energy comes from somewhere. Whereas, you know, I've sort of had this weird, naive view of the web being, you know, just out in the sky or wherever the web lives. But no, actually, that's having like an impact on our planet, as well as banks. This is going to make me sound like an absolute, such a green, naive person, but that banks invest in bad things, you know, deforestation and the like. So actually have a look at where your finances sit. And if you don't like what that bank's doing, change it. That's something I never even thought about, but learned about it from our members this week. Yeah, those are the top two that sort of spring to mind. Like, oh, great awards that they've won, great projects that they're working on. You can't fail to dip into our community and come out feeling more joyful as a result because something brilliant's gone on. Or they're sharing some tough times and then the community reaches out. But there's just such outpouring of love and support if someone's having a tough time, be it because they're struggling with their purpose in their agency or, you know, could be having a marriage breakdown. But that we've got that openness and transparency within our community, and it never fails to make me really proud.
So how do you fuel your own creativity?
Oh, it's such a tricky one, isn't it? Because you need time and space to be able to do that. And now I think as a mum, I really lack that. You know, it goes my family, my job, my house, myself, way down there. And it's such a shame because I think when I'm feeling my most healthy in, you know, body, mind and soul, it's when I'm doing something really creative. Christmas always pushes me to do stuff because I like to make stuff and I like to, you know, decorate my house. So at the moment, my house is decorated like autumn just came and did an autumnal whirlwind all around. So there's loads of pumpkins and leaves everywhere. But I think I need to fuel my creativity by giving some time and space to it. And I don't think it happens unless I actually allot time in my week for, you know, I'm just going to write for a bit, or I'm going to do some crafts with my daughter. And I definitely need to get better at that, because especially at the moment, I feel so under the pump before the end of the year. I'm definitely not making enough time for the creative fun stuff.
Yeah, it's vital, isn't it? Like you said, you feel like everything's in tune when you're in that as well. And it's often the one thing that gets pushed to the edges.
Yeah.
Everything else takes priority.
Yeah, I guess so.
So if someone was striving to become an MD, either if they're at the start of their career or they're already working towards it, what advice would you consider they start actioning or thinking about or connecting with people? You know, kind of what should they do to get to that point?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say be clear on why you want to become MD. I wasn't going for the position of managing director, but I was striving for the position of managing director of the agency collective because of everything we've spoken about today, because the values are so aligned, because I felt like I had really already been instrumental in shaping the community that we have now today. So I'd say be clear on why you want to become MD. I'd say have a think about the type of business and organization you want to run, what you've liked about companies you've worked for in the past, what you definitely haven't liked about companies you've worked for in the past. Think about the personality types you want to be working with. I'd have a think about the changes that you want to make. So is it enough to just run a business these days? I think probably not. You need to run your business, but and then what? Like, what's your legacy? What are you leaving behind? And then I'd think about getting a mentor. So look at organizations that you really admire. You know, LinkedIn is great for people being like honest and sharing their sort of true life stories and woes. So I'd be having a look at other people's stories and look at getting a mentor, someone who can teach you, guide you, and also challenge you, right? I get challenged on a regular basis about why I've made my decisions, and I can more often than not I stand my ground and I can absolutely validate it. But just having that sense of challenge, I think, is really important to know that you're making the right decisions and that you're on the right track, because there is a bit of like holding your breath and diving in when you're an MD. The buck stops with you. There is nowhere else to go. So on the occasion where you have messed up, or your team's not happy and they've let you down, or you make the wrong hiring decision, or you make the wrong business decision and lose the company money, it sits with you. But you need to feel confident in why you made that decision and how you came to that decision, and then learn from it from next time.
Wow, that's amazing advice. I love that. It's very listed as well, so I'm going to check them all off. So what's coming up for you, for yourself, and also the agency collective? Obviously, you talked about the Change Makers Award launching next year. So yeah. Anything else around that, and also for you personally?
We have put our B Corp application in. We just did that this week, which we're bloody thrilled about. That has been such a valuable process to go through. I think even for an organisation where you're not actually wanting to get the B Corp accreditation, but just to go through it and make sure that your processes and your policies match your heartfelt intentions, that's been really valuable for us. We are looking to do our first in-person conference next year, which I've only just started organizing, and already I'm thinking, bloody hell, this is why people hire events experts to organize this stuff. But I'm keen to try and really just put together a day of learning for agencies, looking at how they can future-proof their agency in terms of the planet, in terms of their teams, in terms of themselves. That's the sort of idea behind it. We're growing the team, so we're growing the community management team. So we will have more members, core members of Team AC to look after our community, which is really exciting. Well, we've started launching a series of training for agencies as well. So what we find is that agency founders are so often accidental agency owners. You know, they've got a crash hot graphic designer, or they're an awesome copywriter and they've freelanced, and then they've got too much work, and then they've hired a person, and before they know it, they've got an agency and they're responsible for people. But maybe they've never been a manager before, let alone a leader of a whole bloody business and a team. So we're looking at some real back to basics, salt of the earth, how to get the most out of your team. So how to deliver one-to-ones, how to deliver appraisals, how to performance manage, employment law, like what you need to be aware of. So those are our first ones. We've just sold out of our first cohort of that, which is really exciting and obviously just proves how needed it was. And we last year launched a diversity, equity and inclusion survey for agencies that in partnership with Hallam. And before the end of this year, we'll be launching the second DE&I survey industry-wide so that we can benchmark, so we can start actually charting improvements and sharing valuable pearls of wisdom from agencies to other agencies and just keep that conversation going, always keeping that conversation going.
Wow, lots going on.
Yeah.
In the near and distant future. Sounds amazing. But look, before you go, there's two questions I ask everyone. First of all, is there a career or job in the creative industries you know a little about that I can potentially get someone in that role on to kind of demystify that role? And also someone, a woman or person who identifies as non-binary that you would love to recommend that I reach out to get in touch to potentially interview?
I would love to know what a producer in a movie does. I mean, I sort of get what a producer does, sort of, but like I'd love to know what the actual nitty gritty day-to-day, what jobs do you cover off when you're a producer?
Sounds good. I'm sure I can find someone in producer.
And have you heard of Flavilla Fongong? She is the founder of an agency called Three Colors Rule. She does a lot of stuff on BBC News. She's founder of a community called Black Women in Tech. She's bloody brilliant.
Oh, I've so loved chatting to you. Thank you so much for your time.
That's lovely. Cheers, Renee. You legend.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Please do subscribe to where you get your podcasts to make sure you're up to date with any new episode drops. And you can also follow us on Instagram at GreaterThan11. A huge thank you to Eden Richards, who creates all Greater Than 11% artwork and edits this beautiful podcast.